You're listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialized fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. Today I'm reading Dance Prince's Dance, Part 11, Kiss Chase. Kissing boys was not something that Dennis's family had ever even acknowledged as a possibility. He had three brothers, raised on mountain air and goat's milk. All four of them were strong and broad and good workers. They knew from an early age what was expected of them. To learn a trade, serve the mountain gods, bring money home every month, and eventually to find a sturdy and respectable young woman to add to their ever-growing family. By the time he was 13, Dennis was an uncle twice over and had figured out that he had no interest in Maisie the butcher's daughter or Sadie the roofer's daughter, despite every attempt of the village to hurl them in his general direction. He wanted Will, the blacksmith's son, who kissed like he was trying to win a fight, and was quick about inventing chores that could only be accomplished by the two of them, alone, out of the sight of prying eyes. They were 16 when they were finally caught. The worst day of Dennis's life. His father didn't shout or bluster. The same could not be said of Will's father, who threatened to brand them for their shame. Dennis thought afterwards that they probably could have stopped him had Will's father reached for the iron instead of cuffing his son with his open hand, but that did not make their fear any less real. Dennis's father did not speak of it again. No one spoke of it, not his mother or his brothers, not even Will, who was betrothed to Maisie the butcher's daughter within a fortnight and behaved every bit as if he was pleased about it. The silence blanketed the village like a fall of snow. When word came up the mountain pass that the castle was looking for guard recruits, Dennis packed a bag and left, without even realising he'd made a decision. His family let him go without a word of protest, even though his brother Martin had never heard the end of it when he and his wife settled two villages away. Dennis worked hard. He sent money home each month. He visited every other holy day with gifts for his nieces and nephews. He earned a nod of pride from his father when he brought the news that he'd won a coveted spot as a cadet to the Royal Hounds. And on every visit, without fail, his mother or grandmother or sister-in-law asked him if he had met a nice girl yet. Kissing Kai was nothing like kissing Will. It was no battle between them, but a slow warmth that built warmer and warmer as their mouths came together and apart. Dennis curled a hand around Kai's hip, pressed him against the wall of the cavern, and ignored everything around them, the music, the magic, the strange flashing lights. He had wanted this for so long, and had forgotten every reason he ever gave himself about why this was a terrible idea. When they drew apart, Kai blinked up at him, beautifully dishevelled. "We're in a cave," he said. "Yeah," said Dennis. Kai frowned. "Were we kidnapped by fairies?" "We definitely were kidnapped by fairies," Dennis admitted. Whatever wild enchantment had caught them up was wearing off, so maybe he shouldn't be pressing his entire body quite as intimately up against Kai. He shifted his weight back on his heels. Kai's arms came up, wrapping around Dennis's neck, not letting him move an inch. "Also, you kissed me." Dennis grinned, wanting to huff out his relief. He hadn't ruined anything. He leaned in, letting his forehead rest against Kai's for a moment. "I did that, yeah." "Do it again," said Kai. Kai's first crush was a girl so far out of his reach that he might as well have set his sights on a goddess or a priestess. Lady Ashlyn of Trebor was the niece of a countess, and her family had been layering accomplishments on her since she was a child. They intended her to marry a prince. Not a charming prince, of course. Her family would never have stood for Chase and Cyrus's wild shenanigans. But there were other kingdoms and other potential princes to ensnare. Kai didn't care that Lady Ashlyn could speak four languages, that she embroidered and played piano and danced in 12 different cultural styles. She was pretty, and she was kind, and she made jokes about obscure classical poets. That was enough for him. He nursed his crush for 2 years, until Lady Ashland's younger cousins came of an age to no longer need a governess, and it was time for Mama to move on to another kingdom, another family. Kai's second crush was a stable lad at the house of the otherwise awful Meadow family, whose bratty children drove Mama to despair with their pranks and tricks. They didn't stay long in that household. She had little patience for those who hired governesses and tutors, but refused to invest in books and paper for their children. Still, they stayed long enough for Kai to earn his first kiss in a musty hayloft. There were other crushes and other kisses, but none had spun him around quite as much as those two. Not until Dennis. Mama did not seem to mind that Kai liked boys as much as girls, more, perhaps, if you counted up his crushes and kisses and divided them by gender. When Kai applied for the job in Charming, that was the first time Mama had ever disapproved of something he did. It came as a shock to both of them. Over several weeks, she dragged out every dissuasion and discouragement technique at her disposal, but he had watched her use them on children his whole life, and they had little impact on him. Besides, he was nearly 18. Kai came to Charming. He became a reporter, and he had to admit it to himself, if no one else. He was pretty sure he was falling in love. It felt like that right now, with Dennis warm and heavy against his chest, pressing him into the wall, kissing the breath out of him. "Kidnapped by fairies," Kai said again, next time they surfaced for air. "Ugh, yes," said Dennis. "We should probably do something about that." He eased back. Kai might have minded the loss of his heat and touch, if Dennis hadn't promptly threaded their fingers together. "Don't want you getting lost," he added, in a mumble, as if he'd never held another boy's hand before. "Okay," another voice broke into their conversation. Ziggy stood at a respectable distance, the only other person in this light-dazed, music-drenched cavern who was not swaying hypnotically to the pulse of sound and magic. "Not that this isn't adorable. Believe me, I'm tabling the conversation about how adorable this is for another time. But right now, we have some princes to save." Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. You can follow me on Twitter and Tumblr at TansyRR and at Sheep Might Fly. Like my page on Facebook at TansyR Roberts and collect a free ebook of my story Fake Geek Girl by following the link in the show notes. See you next time.